You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, who's better looking, liberals or conservatives? We'll find out what a new study has to say in just a bit.
First, there's been growing national attention to the issue of civil asset forfeiture. That's when police seize property involved in criminal activity.
Supporters of forfeiture say it's a deterrent to crime. It prevents criminals from profiting from their crimes. And forfeitures can provide a boost to police department budgets.
But a growing number of critics say police seize too much from citizens, that they seize valuable items like cars and houses for lesser offenses. In some cases, assets are seized even when no charges are filed. And there's a concern that allowing police departments to make money from seizures is an incentive to take too much in forfeitures.
A group of Wisconsin lawmakers is proposing legislation that would put new limits on forfeitures here in the state. State Senator David Craig is with us. He's the Republican senator from the town of Vernon in Wisconsin's 28th Senate District. He's co-author of the new legislation. Senator Craig, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
What led you to tackle this issue of a civil asset forfeiture?
Yeah, I mean, it's a movement that's occurring nationally. A lot of states have these laws in the books, and the most glaring thing about the current statute that we have right now, I think, is it's on its face, I think, unconstitutional. So what we have is a situation where an individual might never be charged with a crime nor convicted of a crime, and they could have their property seized and have that property forfeited or liquidated by a law enforcement agency with no real level of due process. And that is a situation which has led to some very, very infamous stories in other states, much less so here, but still some stories of, I think, abusive situations that I think call for the legislature to fix this bad policy that we have on the books.
In the legislation you're working on with your colleagues, what changes? Give us a before and after.
Yeah, so right now, like I said, you need not be charged with a crime. You need not be convicted of a crime. You need not ever necessarily appear before a jury of your peers to have your property taken and forfeited. So what our bill says is that cannot happen. There cannot be any more civil asset forfeiture. It has to be a criminal forfeiture. So we want to make sure that there is a conviction, that the Fifth Amendment is upheld. The Fifth Amendment says that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, and that's what we want to make sure happens here. So that is really the main thing. There are a couple of other less notable changes that deal with how local law enforcement interact with federal law enforcement and how forfeitures occur. So right now, if there was a local law enforcement that was working on a case where a forfeiture occurred, that forfeiture could be used to a certain extent to recoup costs to the department for creating that forfeiture, but then the rest of that money should go to the common school fund under our constitutional provision of our state constitution. Our bill makes sure that if there is a what they call a federal adoption of a case, so local law enforcement working with federal law enforcement, right now local law enforcement could take a case that they've worked on, give it to a federal agency to have the federal agency prosecute it, and then have the forfeiture from that federal forfeiture turn around and be sent back to the local police department, which we think is not a policy that we should necessarily have on the books right now. We're open to discussing that provision, but we would want to see that money is going to where I think the authors of our Constitution wanted it to go, to the Common School Fund, a more neutral fund that's not attached to the entity that's creating the forfeiture in the first place, so that we're not what they call policing for profit, as it's known in other states. So those are a couple of the provisions of the bill. We have some other changes in legal standards for what the threshold is that law enforcement needs to prove. So what we say is that you have to have a clear and convincing level of information about a piece of property that it was utilized in a crime before that item can be forfeited also, just to make sure that even if there is a conviction, that we're not, there are stories in Wisconsin where whole vehicles that may have been used in fairly petty drug crimes have been forfeited. Is that something that should be done? I don't believe so. Should there be a forfeiture in that case? Quite certainly there should be something. But does, you know, selling a few joints out of a vehicle, does that require, or does that hearken to a full forfeiture of an entire vehicle in the value of thousands upon thousands of dollars? And it might be a source of a person's livelihood in addition to that. So we want to make sure that there's a level of what we call proportionality in the statute.
Right. Does your legislation create a standard for proportionality so that, as you say, $200 worth of drugs offense doesn't lead to the confiscation of a $10,000 car?
Right. And there is proportionality that's in case law. But we wanted to make sure that proportionality is in the statute and that we do address that in this bill.
We're talking to State Senator David Craig. He's working on legislation with colleagues on civil asset forfeiture here in Wisconsin. Now, I want to look at U.S. Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions. He's one of the people who is in favor of forfeiture. He's been quoted as saying, taking and seizing and forfeiting through a government judicial process illegal gains from criminal enterprises is not wrong. And he said that 95% of these forfeitures involve people who have done nothing in their lives but sell dope. And then we've also heard opposition, or at least concern, from the Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association. How do you address concerns from, you know, the nation's top lawyer in the near future and the police departments around the state?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably going to be a level of disagreement that I have with the attorney general nominee. But when we talked to law enforcement groups here in Wisconsin, we had public hearing on the bill last session. It became apparent that somewhere in the 90% of forfeitures do have a conviction attached to them. And if that is the case, then I don't see what the resistance to the bill is, because if the vast majority of forfeitures will still occur because they're tied to a conviction, then why would there be opposition to a bill ensuring that is always the case? And that's we do have to be concerned about. We have to be concerned about the Bill of Rights. And even if it is a small portion of the number of forfeitures that occur, we need to make sure that we protect those individuals to make sure that they have had due process before their property is taken. So there may be a level of disagreement. And now, the federal standards are slightly different from the state standards, and I believe the legal standards for attaching a crime to an inanimate object are slightly different than we have here in Wisconsin. We need to worry about what we can do here in the legislature, and this, I just think, is a glaring example of an unconstitutional policy that needs to be addressed by us who have been elected to uphold the Constitution.
As I understand it, in many states, police departments rely on forfeiture for a big part of their budget. Wisconsin is not quite to that extent. That said, would this change leave some gaps in police department budgets?
It may. We've heard anecdotal testimony from police departments that say that there will be, I shouldn't say police departments, but law enforcement agencies, that say that this will inhibit their enforcement. And if there's a little bit of inconsistency, because if there's a conviction that's occurring and the forfeiture is occurring as a result of the conviction, I just don't see what kind of gaping hole there would be in a budget. If there is a budget hole, though, that's something for policymakers to make up for or to find a resolution for. That is not up for the executive branch to gauge levels of enforcement based on the need for filling holes in the budget. I mean, this is why we elect legislators. This is why we elect county board supervisors. This is why we elect city aldermen, to make policy decisions and fiscal decisions for executive branch agencies. That is not something that should be a driving force for our policing policy in Wisconsin.
We've seen calls for similar laws at the national level from people concerned about civil liberties, really on the left and the right. Republican Jim Sensenbrenner at the federal level, for example, is working on this. Do you see bipartisan support here in Wisconsin on this issue?
Oh, we do. I think this is one of those, I guess, somewhat rare issues that unites kind of both ends of the political spectrum. Myself, Steve Nass, have been the leaders in the state Senate and the Republican caucus. Bob Wirch, who's on the opposite end of the political spectrum from Kenosha, is a staunch defender of our bill and is a co-author of the bill. Fred Kessler from Milwaukee on the Democrat side is a staunch defender of our bar changes, as well as Gary Talkin and Adam Jarko, who are more conservatives from the Republican caucus in the Assembly. So this is one of those areas where the left and right agree that something needs to get done in the name of the Bill of Rights and you know, just making sure that individuals have due process rights. I'm happy that both sides can come together on what I think is really common sense legislation like this.
What are you looking at for a timeline on this?
Yeah, so we have it out for co-sponsorship right now. We're getting a lot of interest in it right now. So we're going to be working with our colleagues for the rest of this week to get more and more names on the bill to show the groundswell that is out there right now. I don't see anything happening as far as bill progress goes in the next probably couple of weeks because we have to do some of the more administrative functions. But I'd like to see it get going in a hearing in both bodies in fairly short order and then hopefully signed into law very soon.
Are you optimistic that leadership in both chambers will get on board and let votes happen here?
I think so. Like I said, this has a lot of support on both sides of the aisle. It's good public policy. We all swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. You can't look at the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution and then look at the statute that we have and just let that be. So we're going to have conversations with our colleagues. If there are some that have concerns, we'll work through those concerns. But at the end of the day, we should be engaged in making good public policy here. And this is something where both sides of the political spectrum look at it and say, you know what, something needs to get fixed. So I'm very, very confident that we'll have something done before the end of the session here.
Senator Craig, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
That was State Senator David Craig, Republican from the town of Vernon. He joined us to talk about legislation he co-authored, changing the rules for asset forfeitures by Wisconsin law enforcement agencies.